Good to see everybody here today. Hope you're having a blessed day. I am. I get to see y'all. And y'all get to see us. Whoever's out there on the internet, welcome this morning. Glad you're listening in. We do try to stream every Sunday live, and of course our messages are also archived, so you can go back and listen to them again on YouTube, or I guess you can do it. Some of them still on our website too, so that, you know, they're all kind of there for your gleaning as you need to. This morning, we are going to take a slight break out of Matthew. We've been studying Matthew up to this point. We're through chapter 13, and we should pick up chapter 14 next week, the Lord willing. But this week, the Lord has laid a specific message on my heart concerning false prophets in our midst. And I believe this is important, particularly at this time, where we are in the United States, where we are in the church here in the United States. We're entering into a season like we've never seen in this country. Now, I'm not speaking prophetically here this morning. I'm not a prophet. If the Lord lays a prophetic word, I will share it. But particularly simple reasoning, we can see everything in our newly elected government stands. It goes against biblical truth. It goes against biblical principles. And so seeing that, there are many out there that are not concerned about preparing the church for persecution. They're not concerned about preparing the church by getting into the Word and studying and diving in. They're more rather interested in padding their own pockets, and often they speak words of prophecy that are not from the Lord, but are from their own heart's desires. And that's easy to happen. Before I get too far into this, I want to make sure you understand I'm not bringing condemnation. I'm bringing a word of warning for two things. One, for anyone who speaks a prophecy needs to make sure they're hearing from the Lord. And for those who hear or listen to a prophecy, they need to make sure it's from the Lord as well. And only prayer and seeking the Lord and time will verify whether it's a true prophet or whether it's not a true prophet. Now, I shared with you on a couple of occasions over this last few months things that were sent to me via email, men claiming that God was going to put Trump back into office again. It was an absolute. There wasn't any, we pray that he will. This is what they said was going to happen. God said it, they said. And then when it didn't happen, they said, same person I'm thinking of here, said, well, within 70 days from the time of the election, God is going to overturn it. Trump will be president by the 13th of January, I calculated the days. That was the week before the inauguration. It didn't happen. It didn't happen now. There are still people out there that believe it's going to be overturned. Now, I'm not going to get into all of what may or may not happen this morning. What I'm saying this morning is this man and others have used the pulpit to speak what they wanted to happen, their heart's desires to happen. There have been people that have had dreams, and we've heard about these. I've even shared some of that with you over the last year, that they said, the Lord gave me this dream. And whether he gave the dream or not is really not the question. It's how you look at the dream and how you sometimes interpret the dream and then how you present the dream to others. There could have been very much said in a dream, but if it's spoken as prophecy that it's going to happen and these things are going to take place because of this dream, then there needs to be evidence of that happening. And again, these things did not happen. A lot of times, and this is interesting, It's somewhat psychological, and I'm very cautious to bring psychology into the church, but psychologically, if you feed yourself so much, you will dream about it. Sometimes it could just be a pizza, but if you spend a lot of time following politics or following this group or that group, and you just dive into it, and it's just, that's all you do, your mind is prone to dream about those things, and sometimes those dreams aren't—they have nothing to do with reality. It just has with over intake, just too much coming in, and it's a way to vent it out in a way. But rather than really seeking the Lord on some of these dreams and asking for the true interpretation, they begin to speak with eloquence, and they speak with authority, and they come out saying these things that don't come to pass. And what's a shame is that there's no humility in it. This same group of prophets, there's about 7 or 8 of them, all said the same thing. But one in particular has now put another spin on it. God's still not done, and He's going to reveal all of the lies and all of the stuff in our government, all the stuff. Well, what has He been doing for the last 4 years? We've seen lie after lie after lie. God has been exposing it. The truth is a lot of people don't care in the country that we live in today. So you can't come out and say, because this is going on, that this is going to happen. God allows things to happen for His purpose, His timing, and His glory. And we have to make sure that we are seeking Him and Him alone. Because He will lead us sometimes in places that we don't necessarily want to be. God doesn't always want to keep us in our comfort zone for many reasons. Spiritually speaking, God wants us more than not to be out of our comfort zone, because that's when we're seeking Him. That's when we're on our knees. That's when we're saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Help! I need You now more than ever. And this is where we are in this country today. We need God more than ever today. But we need to be listening to Him. We need to be in the Word. We need to be studying. And we need to be very cautious about things that we hear. There are 3 warning signs that we as believers must watch out for regarding false prophets. Number one, they prophesy from their own delusions. This is something I just mentioned. And I'm going to go into all of these again shortly, or as we get into the study. Number two, they say what does not come true. That's a very obvious sign. And three, they lead people away from Christ. And today I see all 3 of these signs present among us. They're in the church. And there are a lot of times people saying things that are not from the Lord. Now I'm going to discuss these 3 points again. But first, I want to read a couple of passages from the book of Jeremiah. And this is a lot of reading, so bear with me. I do, as you know, get stumbled on my words from time to time. But Jeremiah 23:9-32. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine has overcome, because of the Lord and because of His holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse of the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be like them slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them. The year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I've also seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard His word? Who has marked His word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until He is executed and perform the thoughts of His heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed a dream. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who uses their tongues and says, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them because my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. I'm going to continue in Jeremiah 28, 1 through 17. And it happened in that same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and all of the people, thus saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all that were carried away in captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as the one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, you've broken the yokes of wood, but you've made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beast of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you've taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now I've read two long passages here out of Jeremiah, but you can go into the Old Testament and you can read time after time after time where false prophets were called out. They were called out for speaking from their own delusions, speaking from their own heart, speaking for what they wanted to see happen. And some of the things that they would prophesy about, as even today, are not bad things. They want things to go a different direction. They think it would be good for the country. They think it would be good for the church. They think it would be good for this or that. So they're not necessarily bad things. But if they're not in alignment with God's word, it's not a good thing. If they're not in alignment with God's plan, it's not a good thing. And one thing that I've heard over and over with some false prophets, what they will use is Old Testament promises. And they will bless me, bless you, bless me, bless you, bless me, bless you. And it's all using certain phrases out of the Old Testament, but they're not recognizing, not even calling out the fact that when they're reading these passages, the country, the state of Israel, were in captivity. And so now we see today, we see people calling people out, and they're using these passages. To date, we're not in captivity. Not in the literal sense. But we're heading into some dangerous territory as far as the church is concerned. And we need to be alert. We need to be awake. We've covered this in some of our messages before. We need to be really on our knees and seeking the Lord's plan and making sure that we're not just saying things that we want to take place because it would be better for us financially or better for us maybe in our health plans, better for us in whatever else. Our freedoms. Do we want to lose any of the freedoms we have in this country? No. But is it likely to happen? Yes. The world is going in one direction. And if you read the book of Revelation, we know that direction. We know what's coming. We know that there's a timetable. We know that God has a plan. And so with all of that, who are we to say that this country is not going to suffer as other countries have suffered because they turned away from the Lord? Former President Obama made one statement that I think I could agree with his whole term in office, that this is no longer a Christian nation. It's not that we don't have churches everywhere. It's not that we don't have people of faith. But what we've done is we've allowed, probably from about the 1960s on, the people to come into office to start removing God from everything in public places, in the school systems, in the courtrooms, and everything else. And now we say, oh, but God's going to bless us. And they expect it. And the church has linked its faith to the government by saying, oh, God would never allow this. He's going to overturn this. God would never allow this. He's going to do this. But why would not God allow it? Why would not He allow it? I mean, it makes no sense to me. What I'm seeing happening today is something that is going to continue to move forward, and it is going to be more persecution on the church. We need to be prepared for it. And we see how God looks at false prophets. There's other testimonies and other situations in the Word where it says if a prophet testifies and it does not come true, he's to be stoned. And we don't do that today. And I'm not saying we should. I'm saying let's give it to God. I'm not bringing condemnation here. I'm bringing what I believe God is telling me to tell the church, and that is we need to be awake. And we need to be discerning. We need to be seeking God and His plan and not falling prey to those who want to say something else that's going to benefit them more than you. Because a lot of these television prophets, it's about money in their pocket. Now, going back to the 3 points that we mentioned earlier. Number one, they prophesy from their own delusions. Jeremiah 14:4 says, "And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart." See, the false prophet will often prophesy from their own imagination. because they want it so bad. Or they'll say something that you want to hear or that they know people might want to hear. And so those are the directions a lot of times they will go. They know how to do it so well. If you're not careful, you can fall victim to them. They speak very authoritatively. I mean, they're bold and boisterous, and they get louder and louder and louder, thus says the Lord. And people are drawn to that. They want to hear it. Oh, if God's saying this, I need to latch on. I need to hear. Without discernment, many times you can't tell the difference between a false prophet and a real prophet unless it comes to pass, especially if it's something that people want to hear. The false prophet who prophesies only what people want to hear will tend to prophesy that very thing. That's going to bring agreement. And then they have an alliance, if you will. And they build upon that. This happened in Israel, and it happens today. Again, I sent an email to this one prophet. And I'm not calling out names this morning, Lord. I just don't feel like the Lord wants me to do that. But I sent an email to, he's a pastor of a church. And I said, hey, what happened to these words you spoke back on November the 4th or 5th? I said, what happened? It didn't come to pass. Therefore, you're a false prophet and you need to repent. I haven't heard anything back yet. They have my email. They can send it back. But I haven't heard anything yet. But again, I don't go and follow this, but people have sent me things over the last 3 or 4 months. And predominantly, it was all about the election. It was all about the state of the country and the state of the church. But number two, the second point, to identify a false prophet is when they say what they say doesn't come true. And in this case, it didn't. It did not come true. Nothing that this man said happened. Deuteronomy 18, 21 through 22. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And that's another thing too. They will intimidate in their words. Oh, there's a lot of naysayers out there. There's a lot of people that are calling us this or that. They're not hearing from the Lord as we are. You need to be listening to us. We have a direct line to the Lord. I'm going to give you a little secret. We all have a direct line to the Lord. The question is, are you going on the same number? What number are you dialing? Because sometimes you're not in line with the Lord. You're in line with your own thoughts, your own desires, and your own plan. And Deuteronomy 18:20 says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of the other gods, that prophet shall die. Now clearly, this is not something that God takes lightly, especially because of the influence that these people have. And the sources and resources that they have, and the money that they have. And they're all over these broadcasting networks. God is wanting the church to listen to Him. Now, I am not saying that prophecy is not from God. I absolutely believe that prophecy is still here today. The Apostle Paul said, in the New Testament, so it's not an Old Testament thing, and it didn't end, I don't believe, with the disciples and the apostles. But he said, some are called to be prophets. Some are called to be pastors. Some are called to be teachers. Some are called to be evangelists. And you're to operate in whatever gifting you're called, but you better be real careful that you're operating by the power of the Holy Spirit in that gift, because He's the one giving you the gift. He's the one exercising the gift in you, and He's the one with the power behind it. And if you're not, then there's another voice you're listening to. And that's very dangerous. And unfortunately, in the overall church, prophecy in some cases has been hijacked, just like tongues has been hijacked in other aspects of the church. They're both real gifts. But they've been misused, misinterpreted for their own purposes and their own glory. We're called to step back. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Get into the Word. Be alert. And we can see what's going on around us. Now the third point, they lead people away from Christ. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4, if there arises among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and he gives you, a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you've not known, and let us serve them, you shall listen to the shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether the Lord your God, whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. So there are some that are prophesying and drawing people away from the Lord. And sometimes, because of demonic influence, some of these things may come to pass. But God says here, I'm testing you. Who are you following? Are you following me? Or are you following a person that does this wonder or miracle or whatever, and this word that he gives? He's pulling you away. So looking at these three things, we have a litmus test, if you will, to see if it's a true prophet or not. Now, you might look at this third point that I just mentioned and say, well, I haven't seen any of these so-called prophets today leading any way to another god. I mean, I haven't seen them talking about the name of Baal or whatever. But in actuality, they've led them to idolatry. In many cases, by making prosperity their god. Because if you notice, the majority of the prophets today are in the prosperity movement. When am I going to get? Or here's what you're going to get. It's a bless me mentality in a lot of these cases. It's what you're going to get from him. And one other thing that I've also noticed, particularly in the prophetic arena today, where the church really focuses on the gift of prophecy, it's all good news. It's all good news. Well, now, I know we live in a season of grace, okay? So I'm not saying we're in the same era that we were in the Old Testament, but a true prophet is going to speak what the Lord says, whether it's good or bad news for you. A true prophet is not going to tell you what you want to hear or just something that's going to tickle your ears and make you feel good about yourself. You're going to prosper. You're going to be delivered from this trial or that trial, and it's going to be by this date. Now, I've heard these things over the years. I've been around it. I've seen it. I've seen how it operates. There was one church we went to many years ago, and they would bring in this prophet about every few months, and he would go around the room, and he would pick somebody out, and every prophecy was a positive mental attitude prophecy type thing. And I remember at that time in my life, I was still growing in the Lord, and I asked one of the guys at the church, I said, how come he never prophesies over me? He's been here several times. He's never said anything. And I don't even know if he knew but it was from the Lord, but he said, well, maybe he knows that God speaks to you directly. I didn't even think about that. And again, I'm not saying that I would not listen to a word of prophecy if it was spoken over me. I would pray over it. I would meditate on the word around it, and I would seek the Lord's wisdom, and if it came to pass, then it's the true prophet. If it doesn't, then it needs to be brought out. What was the primary message over the last several years from the Prosperity Church? Was it get ready? Times and seasons are changing. Draw near to the Lord and listen for his leading when persecution comes. You have heard that here. You've heard that in other churches, but primarily in the prophetic circles, it's all been about blessings, and God hasn't given up on this country. God hasn't given up on our prosperity. God is going to beat these people down, and we will prevail. And that's the prophetic word that's been spoken over and over and over. And they, again, as I mentioned earlier, they pretty much put Christianity in the United States to be linked to our government. That we deserve to be blessed. And God's not going to allow this country to go this direction or that direction. But I want you to think about it for a moment. In what environment can a prophet and preacher prosper the most? In one with a booming economy and capitalism in its prime? Or in a socialist mentality where the government runs and handles everything? They're all prophesying from their own heart's desires, just as we read in Jeremiah. So looking at all of this, you might ask, why is it so important for us to even be talking about it today? Why do you feel like the Lord is wanting you to have this message today? We know the Lord. We're Christians. We can kind of discern these things. Why do you feel it's important? After all, false prophets have been around since the fall of man. Satan himself was a false prophet. Spoke to Eve and said, oh, no, that's not what really God meant. He wants to bless you with all knowledge and wisdom, and if you take this, you're going to be like him. Was that not a false word of prophecy? Did it come to pass? Oh, her mind was open to sin, and the fall of man took place shortly thereafter as Adam took the fruit as well. They have been around forever since our lifetime and since the time began. But today, we the church must be praying for discernment and wisdom so we don't fall prey to them. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And 2 Peter 2:1 says, but there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And 2 Peter 2:12 goes on, but these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Today, the church, the whole church, God's church, is entering into a spiritual battle that we've never seen, particularly here in the United States. We've never faced persecution here. It's been happening all around the world. For as long as we can even remember in our lifetimes, we've heard about it. Missionaries that would go over and they were killed. People speaking the word imprisoned, beaten, tortured. In Islamic countries today, you can even be killed by your own family if you change your faith from Islam to Christianity. All of this has been going on in all these other places. And while we've had few short things that have happened here, where an individual go into a church and open fire or other situations like that, it's never been the government that comes against the church here in the United States. There's been things that have arisen, laws that have passed. We discussed that many times, the law of abortion. All of these things are against God's thing, and God's law, God's plan, God's heart. But these people in our government have slowly brought us down to a cultural belief system instead of a spiritual belief system, a belief system in God. We can't find ourselves deceived by those who are spewing words with no substance or truth just because it would be nice for it to happen. And I want you to hear this too. And I've struggled with this myself. I shared this last week. It's easy to get angry when you see things happen. It's easy to be mad when you think elections were not properly handled. It's easy to be angry when you see all of this stuff going and then this whole regime comes into place. It's easy to be mad. But just because you don't feel it was handled properly and just because it didn't happen the way you wanted it to doesn't mean then we can just begin to say God's going to change it because we want it changed. Now, I don't know what God may do or not do over these next 4 years. I'm not here to tell you what's going to happen regarding God intervening or not intervening. What I'm saying is, it stands today, the church is in line for major persecution. And I, for one, am going to bring this warning forth to the church, for who has ears to hear. We do not need to be hiding away thinking, oh, it's never going to happen. It's already happening. It's starting out in California. They've been passing laws already in areas like this. And I mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. If you're a foster parent in California, they've passed a law that you cannot offer any counsel. If you get a transgender child to come into your home, you cannot offer any principle or any counsel at all that goes against what that child believes, or you are held in contempt. It's on the books. It's not just you might get in trouble. They'll take it. You'll never be able to foster care anymore, and they can bring charges against you for that. We know the term hate speech, and we know what it should mean. And there are many out there who use hate speech. But don't think that somewhere in these next few months, years, that we're not going to be able to stand behind the pulpit and speak God's word when it comes to sin without it being considered hate speech. That's coming. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared spiritually by being in relationship with Jesus Christ. Not be afraid, but seeking Him. Because the Word says, why should we be afraid of what man can do to me? The Scripture also says, fear God, not man. So we need to be having our focus right. I received this email this week, and the timing's no accident. Many of you remember the story of Andrew Brunson, the missionary. He was over in Turkey. And he was there because the Lord sent him there. Well, he was falsely accused of some things. He was arrested. He was charged. He was convicted. And he basically got a life sentence in a Turkish prison. He was only there for 2 years. But the experience gave him a personal look at what persecution really looks like. And I'm quoting from this article. It was originally published by the Family Research Council. Wasting away in a Turkish prison wasn't how Andrew Brunson would have chosen to spend 2 years of his life. But after watching turmoil of the last 2 weeks, speaking of the turmoil here, as he's watching this unfold, he's more convinced than ever God was preparing him for this moment. Persecution is coming, he believes, and there's no greater burden on this heart than to make sure Americans are ready for it. Looking back, Pastor Brunson never imagined his life's mission would be advocating for religious freedom. I thought I'd be in Turkey the rest of my life doing church planting. He said this in the Washington Watch. God had other plans. When Andrew was wrongfully charged and sentenced to life behind bars, he's pretty candid, it broke him. Nothing, he said, equipped him for the kind of persecution he experienced. I had counted the cost for some pressure, but certainly not for prison. And like most pastors, he studied the great leaders of the faith, but none of them really talked about how they coped with suffering. And over time, Andrew says, the despair broke him, and every time I broke, I had to get up again and learn perseverance at a deeper level. That's going to be tough to take, he says. People are going to say that Christians are a threat to safety. You can't work here. Your views make people unsafe. You can't use social media. You can't use your bank account, your credit cards, and things like that. And churches, you can't keep your designation as a tax-exempt nonprofit. I'd give that away if that's what it comes to. I ain't worried about that. Compromise will be the easy way out, he says. Jesus tried to steel his followers against that impulse by reminding them that he was hated. And he said, look, they hated me. They will reject my message. So they're going to hate you and reject your message. The servant is not greater than the master. He was preparing them. That's why it's so heavy on my heart, Andrew insisted. I feel like we're not ready, and it's going to be a shock to people. And in this article, he gives 5 points for pastors, teachers, leaders, and even leaders in the home, parents. Number one, talk about persecution. And you know, over this last year, I've been doing that. The Lord's laid it on my heart for over a year, or longer really, that we need to be prepared. That persecution is on the horizon. We have to talk about it. We have to be prepared for it. The Scripture is packed full of instances and situations where godly people are put in harm's way because the world comes against them. True believers who worship God in spirit and in truth are going to face persecution. Suffering is a part of Christianity. The physical suffering we face every day, a lot of that's due to the fall of man and sin. We're in a fallen world. We do have to suffer those consequences, and there's pain and suffering in that. I'm talking about persecution and spiritual persecution. That type of thing is something we've never seen here, but it's coming. We have to be prepared. And point number two is to pursue intimacy with God. So important that we're pursuing our relationship with Jesus Christ. That we're not dependent upon prophecies and dreams and words spoken. While they will come, and some will be true and some will not, that's not our focus. Our focus is Jesus. Do you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is He your source? Is He what you live for? Is He what you long for? Is He what you desire? That's the only place that we're going to find ourselves where we can have that peace that surpasses all understanding. He will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, but He will only do that when we're focusing on Him. Otherwise, our hearts and minds are not guarded. We're dependent upon other things. Some of them are man-made. It's not about the corporate church, in a sense. The corporate church is the reflection of the intimacy of the individual church. So if the individuals are focused on Jesus, then the corporate church will be focused on Jesus. But if us as individuals are very passive in our faith, not really concerned about what's coming or any of that thing, we're just more concerned about, well, where are we going to eat today, and you know, do we have money to pay this and that and the other? Those are not the main focus that we're supposed to have. Yeah, they're concerns of the day, but God said, seek me first, and all these other things I will provide unto you. So we're to seek Him, pursuing personal intimacy. We're to develop the right perspective, and that is to fear God, not man. And that's a big challenge today. Because Big Brother... they can be very intimidating with the words that they speak, the laws that they pass, and the things they implement. But are we going to fear them more than we fear God? We've got to put this into perspective. We're only on this planet a very short amount of time in comparison to eternity. This time can't even be measured and considered against eternity. So all that versus this, is this what we're really concerned about? He has this. He has all that. And we're His. We're to fear God, not man. And number four, we're to determine ahead of time to follow Jesus. This is a plan. I don't know if you noticed all the election commercials. Make a plan to vote. Make a plan. You got to put it on your agenda and make a plan. We need to make a plan to determine ourselves to follow Jesus no matter what. And by doing that, when I say make the plan, that means that you put it into perspective moment by moment, day by day. Jesus, I want to follow you right now, today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, and yesterday's gone. I've got today. And today, I'm committing my heart to follow Jesus. Today, I'm committing my life again to Him. Today, I'm seeking you above all things. Today, I will focus on your word. I will listen to your spirit, and I will go where you say go and do what you say do, because truly, these days are coming to where this is how we're going to live our lives. We need to be prepared for that. And number five, we need to stand on the word. The entire counsel of God's word. This is a very important point because, again, this is where Satan has wormed his way into the churches, watering things down to where sin is not talked about. And if sin is not talked about, then repentance can't be found because you can only repent when you know you're a sinner. And often, in other places, sin has walked straight in the front door and standing in the pulpit because of the way they've changed the way they view sin and the way they look at the Word of God. We need to stand on the Word. We can't waver at this point. If you come across a Scripture that you don't like, too bad. Sorry. I didn't write it. But it's written for a purpose. And it's written for the very fact that we need to say, Lord, this goes against every grain in my flesh. Yeah, it does. God's word will always stand against your flesh. So what do? We're going to follow our fleshly nature and say, no, I'm not going to abide. That, he can't mean that. I have this desire. I have this will I can't break. I have to do this. And God says, no, you're to die to that. My word is true. Whether you like it, whether you agree with it, is irrelevant. It's true. And this is where it comes down to the church and individuals that we have to make that determination that we're going to stand on the word whether we agree with it or not in our flesh, whether we understand it or not. There are many things we're not going to understand, but if God says it, we have to hold true and say, yes, you said it. I believe it, and I'm going to hold on to it because you're the one that's going to be able to fulfill it. And when I see you face to face, then I'll know. Right now, I may not know. And I'm not going to try to write up an answer that something I don't know. That makes it even worse. Because then you put God in your box. God's not going to be anybody's box. And I'll be honest with you. There are many people, and I'm going back to this election, there are many people in this election that were following Trump more than they were following God, though they may say they were Christians. Now, I'm not saying anything about Trump as a man or a president or anything else. What I'm saying is that people loved the man. And some worshiped him. You could see it in some of the rallies. Now, I'm not saying that the rallies were all bad. I'm not saying that none of this should have happened. What I'm saying here is that everything we've talked about this morning and keeping our eyes on Jesus, not a man, whether the man stands for what you like or don't like or not. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to do and stand on His Word. And see, I couldn't agree any more with these points that we just mentioned, these 5 points. Talk about persecution. Pursue intimacy with God. Develop the right perspective. Fear God, not man. Determine ahead of time to follow Jesus and stand on the Word. Those are the things that we have to do. If we're going to go through this season that we're going through, and know that we're in the protection in the hand of God. Does that mean that some of us are going to suffer worse than others? Yeah, probably. And again, I'm not speaking a prophetic word, but I told my wife just a couple of days ago, I may be in jail. Because I'm not changing what God's word says. I don't care what the government does. They will have to bow to Him. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But we're going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to serve Him, and I'm going to speak His word, I'm going to seek Him, and if the government comes, or man, or anything comes against us, we're going to continue doing what we're doing. If you put a lock on the door, we'll meet in a field. They come and put a lock on that fence, we'll meet in another field. We'll go where we have to go. We'll do what we have to do. But we're not going to shut down again either. That's another thing that we're not going to do. And we may have to close a week or two if many wind up with that disease, but we're going to reopen and we're going to stay open. We're not going to shut down. And if that comes down the pipe, we're meeting anyway. Just putting it forth what God has told me about this church. We're going to continue to preach biblical, not cultural truth. We're not going to cower in the face of persecution. And now more than ever, we need to be seeking the Lord, asking for His will to be revealed, and then praying that we have the strength and the boldness to walk in alignment with that will. We can't do it on our own. Nobody here in our own flesh and blood can say, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I mean, even words I've just spoken, I have to get on my knees and say, God, give me the strength to do this. I can't stand before this on my own. The good news is we don't have to. We're not called to. We're called to walk in relationship with Jesus, no matter what. And with that said, we're going to call out false prophets in accordance to God's word. Because in order for the church to walk in unity, we've got to walk in truth. We have to. I know that there's many today that have a difficult time with hard messages, and I know I don't like giving them in my flesh. But when the Lord says do it, you do it. And the reason this word is spoken today is not for condemnation. It's for awakening. It's for a warning. Because when God's true church is persecuted and they stand, those who have spoken lies will not stand. They'll fall. They'll have no power, no strength to stand because they were not standing on truth. And when false prophets today speak one thing and it doesn't happen, they just turn around and spin it around again and spin it around again and spin it around again with no accountability. And thousands of followers on their Facebooks and their whatever. Of course, that may all come to close too. They may get shut down just like everybody else. We were talking at the men's group yesterday about, you know, creating a different format. Facebook, none of us going to be on it. Well, I don't do it anyway. I don't do Twitter either, but at some point, Facebook's not going to be for us. They're already censoring. And I can tell you this, just from certain things that I've heard on the key words now in the media, reprogramming. How can we reprogram these people? Well, I don't know what that means to them. I know probably in some of their minds it's putting us all in a camp somewhere until we all get on the program. But in reality, what I'm saying here is that's the mentality. Not just Trump supporters. I'm not saying that because there's a difference between Christian Trump supporters and non-Christian Trump supporters. There's a difference between Christian people and non-Christian people, obviously. So it's not about that. But they're grouping all Christians who walk in accordance to God's word into this category. We're all being pulled into this one category, and that is that we're dangerous. We're dangerous. And we're going to be labeled as such. And so this word today is twofold. It's to call out false prophets and bring truth to the table, but secondly, it's the warning to us that we get our hearts and our minds focused on Jesus Christ and don't waver on that point. Because the minute we waver, it's very easy to get deceived. And I'm not standing here today as a prophet saying all this stuff, what I'm saying is that we need to be prepared for all of it. And the only way to be prepared is to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Walk in that relationship. And if we do that, He will take care of the details. And when words come, and we pray over them, if they're true words, they will come to pass. If they're not, they're false prophets. Now, how they spin it is up to them. But you can't say one thing, it doesn't happen, and still claim to be a prophet in that area. You can't. So these are the things that we need to be aware of. Be careful who we're listening to. Be careful of the circles that we're in. Spend more time in the Word than on teachings and commentaries and prophecy ministries and any other ministry out there. They're not all bad, but there are some that have wormed their way in and are bringing destruction. And here's the other thing, too. How many people that aren't going to follow them now because of the lies that they spoke may not ever turn their heart back to God because they were wounded or angry because they followed this person instead of following Jesus. And we're to follow Jesus, not a man. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to take what I say and then go to the Word with it. Go to the Lord with it. Pray over it. And if you find me at fault, bring it to me. Let's discuss it. And I will in humility repent. Because that's what we're supposed to do. But don't follow a man. Follow God. Stay focused on Him. Father, we do.